Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. About midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maven. 8150, 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And before we go any further, I want to give a compliment to the texters and the co-hosters, Tanner himself included. You guys have made it really easy. My boy Rummage is out of town, but we've kept some good dialogue. So texters, YouTubers, Made for the Ville, y'all have made this very, very fun. Maybe helped me be very comfortable and get a chance to get all of my ancillary self-therapy conversations out to the world without too many people being too harsh on me on the YouTube channel. Steve Rummage is on vacation. Tanner in the boo.
You don't have a liner yet. No, not yet.
You don't have a liner, but you've thought about it.
I'm getting there. I'm learning how to edit like sound and stuff a lot better.
You have been here so long, Tanner.
I know.
To not have a liner, you've hosted. Don't you want to be recognized in public as Tanner with the liner when you do these shows?
I guess I'll work on something for like tomorrow.
Something you've thought of?
All right.
No, have you thought of it? Nothing you want to share?
Yeah, I want to keep it a surprise.
You know what? I'm putting you in the worst situation possible. Tanner, I want to tell you a quick story. And listen, people, this is between me and Tanner, but y'all are going to share just kind of a veteran story with, listen, if I kept going hard, listen, you don't like to disappoint people. I can tell. You know, when you do something that disappoints, it's how I used to explain to people how a Denny Crum could coach different from a Rick Pitino, right? Denny Crum was good at letting you know he was disappointed in you without screaming. He recruited players that had a natural biological urge to please the coach, you know what I'm saying? To do what's right by the coach. Sometimes to the detriment of the player himself, But if you if you're just that type of player that just wants to do what's right by your coach, you know what I'm saying? Denny Crum could stab you. He could, you know, he's had a rolled up program. And if he just barely jammed you, but he was upset with you, it felt like a dagger, like in Gladiator when he had his hands up like that and he just came and just hit him in the gut. And that's what Denny Crum feels like when he says, "Why did I put you in the game?" You go like, "Oh, I can't believe you said that to me." Okay. What I just did to you, I'm in France. I'm sure we're past the statute of limitations. So if anybody's listening who I had any relationship ties with, I mean, I'm in France. Cut me some slack. I'm in France. I've been over there quite a while. I've become accustomed to France and all that entails being in France now. So this, I've been over there. We're kind of getting towards the later the season. So you kind of got to start making plans like, so when I leave, you know, what's going on? You know, so let's just jump to it. I go meet her family. I sit down, right? I haven't been interested in learning any French, right? I sit down. She makes this little strawberry, sugary strawberry thing. It's very formal type meeting with the lady's parents. We're sitting in this little living room. We had a strawberry and blah, blah, blah. She serves everybody, the mom, and just everything's going smooth. And then she says, "Parlez-vous français?" I said, "Oh, I'm poo," you know, but not really, you know, just like, and she's like, "How long you been here?" You know, I could tell, you know, I was putting together what she was saying, like, "How long you know, been here?" I was like, you know, 8 months. She was like, "Oh," like, and I felt devastated because she was like, "You've been here 8 months and you can't speak French."
Well, French is hard.
Listen,
I took it for like 2 months and then I was like, "This is, I'm gonna do Spanish."
That lady looked at me like I was a short bus student, and she looked at her daughter like, "Do you did you really bring this short bus?" Like, I get the allure of him being American, but he obviously has disabilities if he's been here. That's how that lady looked at me, and I should not have done that to you just to open the show. Welcome to Middays with Marcus Baby. We're going to have a fun show. Here's the thing. Everybody knows when we do these shows, Marcus Maben lets the traffic many times determine the direction of the way the show goes. And it's almost, listen, I'm going to try to chronologically float you, try to chronologically float you down some of the pathways that I want to go. Well, here's the thing. I'm in traffic. And this is what happens. Okay. So, I'm in traffic. Everybody knows on Bardstown Road, you have the middle areas between the lanes. They're difficult to cross if you have an uncooperative group of traffic goers. I thought somebody hit the line. You have an uncooperative group of traffic goers. If you get stuck in the middle of the island on a Bardstown Road, I'm just using Bardstown Road as an example. You get stuck in the middle of that road. I'm telling you, I watched. I'm talking about it had to be 16 cars. And we were going about 5 to 7 miles an hour. We were going at a total creep pace up the street. Traffic is, you know, it's just one of those lights, busy morning, you know, time, you know, prime time traffic. We were going at a creep, and I watched every single car not let that Ford F-150, that maroon Ford F-150 into traffic. And I'm just sitting there thinking, and I'm getting closer, and I'm like, somebody better let that truck get in before me. I'm going to be entirely disappointed. And I'm creeping up. And then I see it's going to get to me. And he's still going to be stuck in that middle island. So I slow down. And he, you know, he kind of, you know, we make eye contact. And he kind of gives me a, thank you, you know, a nod. And then when he pulls in and up in his window, he gives me a strong, good old American, thanks, buddy. You know, just a good wave. Like, thank you for letting me in. And I instantly got upset with all 17 of those cars that just went past. Is your soul that black that you think you're getting behind the next man by not letting someone creep in? 38-31-93-9 is the text line. 81-50-93-9 is the number. Did you do that this morning? Did you drive fast and refuse to let somebody in? Or did it happen to you? Because listen, far be it for me to be an advocate for more traffic laws, but the way I looked at that this morning, I wouldn't mind if the police added a traffic law tomorrow and said, if all five of y'all thought it was more important, instead of slowing down and letting somebody in off the line, you kept driving. Listen, there's enough space for you to slow down, barely slow down and let them in there, but you wouldn't even adjust your speed for 1 second. 1 second to let that truck in. Janky, thanks for joining us on 93.9 Fire Away.
Hey, so since Steve's not here, somebody's got to handle this business right now.
Fair enough.
It's Kentucky Choke Day. Because, I called in yesterday. I expected Kentucky to win that game. They were set up for it. They were in the absolute best position, and they got crushed.
Did they get, did they choke or did they just get beat up on? Because I watched it. It looked like they just got bullied.
In the first three innings, they gave up five free bases. In baseball, that's like losing the turnover margin by a lot. So, like, three bases lead to runs all the time.
So what was it? The second inning when he had a chance to a foul ball, he just lost it in the sun and dropped, and then it just fell apart. Like that was right before the grand slam.
That's right before the grand slam. They in the second inning, they had a hit by pitch and two walks, I believe.
Right.
And like when you're putting runners on and just giving them everything, like they're literally just going to run you over, and that's what Kentucky did. That's for me in baseball.
It looked
choky. That's a choke.
It did look a little choky.
That's what happened yesterday, but. Now that I guess it looks like it's A&M and Tennessee, I think A&M is the best team to beat Tennessee.
Have either lost yet?
A&M, nope.
So they're going to do best of three now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then like, but yeah, and they only played once this year. Mm-hmm. But even being in the SEC, they only got one game. They got like a Thursday game, and Tennessee won like 4-7, I think. And actually, that was a bad game for A&M because they gave up a bunch of free bases in that one too.
Right.
So, this should be a really incredible three-game stretch. I would think that it possibly goes the full three.
So, yeah,
fun baseball.
Listen, appreciate you dropping in on it. Appreciate you. Like I said, I would have totally waited, you know, and probably end up forgetting about it. And, you know, I never like missing a chance to do a little KCD Kentucky talk with this. I was a little worried about it because I didn't want to hear that in the background of Kentucky celebrating national championship baseball runs, especially when I'm really pulling for Dan McDonald.
Congratulations on his new recruit, by the way. Red State says all 17 of those cards watch the guy pass up opportunities to merge and race up all the way. No, that's a different one. That's not the island. You know, when you're stuck in the middle, I'm talking about being stuck in the middle, not merging traffic. Now, I feel the same way about the merging traffic. I mean, is it that serious? Is it that serious that, okay, Tanner, where do you stand on this? What is your traffic personality?
I'm like you. If I see someone that's like waiting that long, I'll definitely like slow down and be like, hey, like make the eye contact and give them the
wave.
What
makes you speed up to cut somebody or like to prevent someone from pulling in?
If I need to be somewhere, like if I'm like late, which I usually am, like I'll probably do that. So maybe I do cut people off, I guess. I don't know. I'm not that bad of a driver, I don't think.
You're not that aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah.
Oh, okay. But being late probably is 90% of your aggression.
Yeah,
driving.
If I'm going to be aggressive, it's more because I'm probably late.
Listen, I saw those 17 cars not let that guy in. I'm like, where are the police when you need them? I'm like, those are the real criminals, because that leads to a bad day. 17 cars, just all, like I said, not even. And again, when I say it's a slow creep, it was a slow creep, people. And anybody could have slowed down and let that car get in there. It was the worst. So then I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's just, it makes me wonder about the personality. And then I started thinking about the women that I've ridden with. And I started comparing them to which ones were good women. And which was, and I was like, you know what? All the women who sped up that I ever rode with were bad women. And I could make almost a direct correlation to the level of selfishness in the traffic versus it was a total real life correlation. And if this morning, hey, y'all need to be a little nice in traffic, because people are ruining each other's days in the traffic. Paul says choking Kentucky should have not been petty and used Louisville slugger bats, then probably would have scored more. That's not pettiness, is it? Louisville slugger bat is just the premier bat, right? There's no pettiness to that. Burns me up. A lot of jerks out there. Yeah, look, Texas says, yeah, burns me up too. It's a lot of jerks out there. Like I said, I don't know if I'm overreacting from the traffic situation, but there would be a lot less traffic if people drove for each other, not themselves. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, it would be a lot less traffic jams. The people that don't let you over in traffic are the same people that don't return the grocery. Now, see, I wasn't going to go quite there, because Marcus Maben has a special place for non-shopping cart returners. But not letting the person in is, woo. And when you leave campus, everybody knows, when you go by the overpass, when you're leaving campus, it's a very short merge. If you're going on 65, was it north? No, south. South.
Yeah,
north.
Yeah. Towards Nashville.
Yes.
That
is a short merge. And if people speed up and don't want to let you in, you are like boogity boogity boogity. Who am I thinking of? Race cars.
Oh,
you're on the wall. They're a wall trip level. Like, you're on the wall, and this is like boogity, Bristol. Boogity,
boogity. Let's go racing. Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm like, when I say you're at Bristol, if you've watched NASCAR, Bristol is, you'll get the most. Oh man, I missed. You'll get the most scrapage and the most accidents per area. Oh man, come on, TBT. Negative. I won't talk TBT. Oh yeah, we've been in summer radio for quite some time. And people say, I think you're going too hard on the traffic thing. That was when Lauren, I disagree. I think you should learn to let people in, be a little nicer. Okay, so here's the thing. I go traffic, I go all that, and then I go into my recruiting. How does that apply? First of all, I was gonna need that audio. So, how quick? Yes, if you have to run and come back to that, I can tap dance so you get to Daryl Waltrip. Is that Boogity who I'm thinking of? Is it Daryl Waltrip?
It's Daryl Waltrip.
Who did I say?
You know, I don't think you said anyone, but my first thought was bench warmers, where they're in the car and they're swinging the bats against the mailboxes. Because he starts up the car and he goes, boogity, 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 let's go racing.
Gosh,
but no, it is Daryl Waltrip. Okay. You are right.
Okay. Yeah, like that's what it feels like exiting from the campus, getting on 65. You are on the wall, and if somebody speeds up, you are. Have you watched Cartnarks? I have watched Texter. I have watched the Cartnarks guy. I fear for him because he's having a little too much fun with it, and he runs up on people a little too. Like those, some of those pranks kind of scare me because I don't want them to end so ugly, and people are not really, you know, with these new carry laws, people ain't going for it as much. Have you watched? Yeah. The Cartnarks is very, very funny. So here's the thing. I go from the type of person, and then I go into my idea of my recruitments. You know, I'm reading all the updates, you know, I'm getting all the gossip behind the scenes. I think I'm watching the process get more squeezed than it's ever been. With NIL, scholarship, and high school scholarships, I am watching, it's like the recruiting process, and international players, the recruiting process, there's so many available talented kids that it is getting, like, imagine in 2 years, you go from Nike EYBL circuit, USA team, and the top 20 high schools. That's where your crop of your top Division I basketball players will come from. Imagine in two seasons, that's less than 600 days. 360, oh, you know, never mind. Less than 700, 800 days, roughly, whatever.
800.
You go from that small of a recruiting base, sprinkle in some a little international Euro, you know, a couple Euro programs, to now you're recruiting high school, division, all the teams in Division I with one year transfers. All the good schools in Division II, all the good schools in Division III, you still got to cover your junior college route. You got to cover your international that's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and more programs, burgeoning other countries' programs, all for the best of the best talent. And if you're at a program, a big-time program, the internet is getting better. The internet sleuth is getting better. So there's more chance for, I don't want to say disaster, but there's now more chance for leaked information to make you look really bad. And a bad look on a bad recruit can lead to a bad viral reputation so fast. A couple of days ago, there was a quote, a Coleman Hawkins quote. This is a couple of days ago when the podcast first got released. He was kind of like laughing because coach didn't have anything bad to say about Louisville. So it was almost like it surprised him. He wouldn't get the negative recruitment. He's like, man, do you really want me to go there? You know, that was kind of like, ooh. So I thought, like, to me, that was a big deal. It didn't quite make it to the radio, but to me, that was a big deal that there wasn't negative recruiting going on with that situation. I was going to have that conversation. Hey, anytime you're in a recruiting battle and you don't have, and a kid admits that there was no negative recruiting from this school with this team, that's a great thing. Again, it kind of flew under the radar. I apologize for that. It was in my notes. It just didn't make it. But at the same time, the air was never really cleared on the ha-ha, the visit got canceled. I mean, I think we did a good job of saying without making it a Hawkins versus Louisville thing. I think it was kind of a general understanding. But here's the problem. I understood, of course, positive poly Marcus Maben is going to say that. Now, whether you believe me or not, that's what, you know, to me, it was a cancellation thing. But I do understand the doubter that says, oh, no, he just the visit got canceled and Hawkins just didn't want to be here. He didn't want to pay the money. And it's one of those, we love to create a problem. And we like to create problems until one problem really happens. And now you got a book of problems that say the sky is falling. Texas says sometimes the shoe don't fit. No, this is not a shoe don't fit idea.
And we know what happens with Kelsey when the shoe doesn't fit.
Oh, that's pretty funny. But you should have that was rim shot.
Line.
So here's the thing. The reason I am going to bark at the shoe doesn't fit kind of thing, because here's the thing, when you have somebody that talent, everybody tries to make the shoe fit, and it's a bold strategy, Cotton, when you try not to get out the little shoehorn. And it's like, hey, man, maybe the shoe's just been in the closet for a little while. Maybe the leather, you got the good leather and it shrunk up a little bit. And the shoes are just a little tight. But if you wear them, you know, around the house before you go to the wedding tomorrow, they might loosen up and they might be comfortable. You find a way to stretch these shoes because they need to fit. They're the perfect shoes for the perfect outfit. I don't feel like going to spend any money in the store. There's not a store. I don't want to wear Walmart shoe, whatever. Whatever your current problem is, you try to make this shoe fit. Coleman Hawkins. But here's the thing. I want you to live in a world really quick where Kelsey lost in a tournament. Kelsey lost in a tournament, and you know you're proud of your team, but you know the haters are coming. You know the negative Nellies and negative Nancy, you know they are coming. They couldn't wait to be the I told you, right? And that guy is all over the place, and he can't wait for this interview right here, these quotes. He cannot wait. His entire next attack on his basketball program is going to start with this right here.
I still see y'all or view y'all as a team who, you know, if y'all get another shot at UConn, if that team did get another shot at UConn, it might have went a little bit differently. Not saying the win or loss would have been a different outcome. How many 40-minute games would it take for your Illinois team to beat that UConn team?
I think if we played them one other time, we would have beat them.
First of all, if you're watching the interview, he's in the camera. He's like wiggling around. He's shaking. He's stretching. He's just he has the childlike ADD kind of thing going where he's just like, it's like, hey, man, let's get this interview in. Let's be a little, you know, soft. Not a big deal. But, you know, if you're Kelsey in the interview, you're kind of like, hey, man, like, Let's tighten up a little bit. Okay.
I think if we played them one other half, we beat them. Like, our game plan. Like, I mean, I've talked about this before. Like I said.
Okay. If you're watching it, these are guys interviewing him saying what happened. And the first thing he's going to, he's laughing. And then he goes, I mean, the game plan. Back up a little bit and let that play again so you can hear him scoffing and go to the game plan.
Another half, we beat them. Like, play them one other time, we would have beat them. I think if we played them one other half, we beat them. Like, our game plan, like, I mean, I've talked about this before. Like I said, my frustration has came in when I'm at the five, and the whole point of me being at the five is to create advantages offensively. We didn't create any advantages offensively. We were at 23 points or whatever at half. I was standing in the corner for a whole half, and this is just me being real. I definitely would have switched up our game plan somehow, some way, and wouldn't have been stagnant and just like kind of ran just a high ball screen once again. And then, like, it's hard for me because, like, okay, we start running the high ball screen in the second half, and I'm picking and popping, and now people are yelling at me for pump faking and not shooting a shot. But that whole first half, I didn't get a play ran to me to shoot a shot. I think the one 3-point attempt I had was like a dribble pull up off a screen, which was a bad shot, and then off of a blocked shot, and I got the ball and shot it. Like, it's got to be like organic. Like, it can't be forced. Like, you got to at least like run a play here and there, and that's kind of where my frustration came in. And I think if we had a half where we truly ran offense and attacked certain scenarios. And then even something a little bit different defensively, I think it would just take us a half. I don't think it would take 40 minutes.
It sounds a lot better than just driving.
Pause that. Yeah. Do you know how many violations? Do you know how many violations he just committed? How, like, do you know, like, if you're a coach and you get hold of this interview and you're possibly thinking about bringing him into your program, and you know you have a couple of guys who are his same dimensions and can give him a problem, and you hear it again, you lost to UConn. Like, have you no tact? Have you no, like, respect for your coaching staff and team? And again, it's a certain kind of person, fan, spectator that doesn't understand what I'm saying right now. But when you say, like, you know, as an athlete, that if your first words are game plan, everybody knows you're throwing the coach under the bus. When you say game plan, you say execution. Because every damn game plan can work if you execute it the right way with any kind of decent coach. You're not in the Elite Eight without a coach who doesn't know how to game plan unless you just got Anthony Davis. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that one.
I didn't mean that. That was nice. You get my point. The first violation is game plan. You're blaming the coach. The second violation, you're talking about, I mean, you can hear it. He says, oh, well, our game plan was, the reason you put me at the five is so I could take advantage of the matchup. Okay. So now we're saying I didn't get my touch.
His matchup was a top 10 draft pick.
Right. Right. Okay. Now you're saying I didn't get my touches. Now you're saying I'm in a corner. And then he says, and now I got people yelling at me because I didn't, I pump faked and did it. You're making that whole loss about what they didn't do for you. And it's got to be organic. And it's got to be this. And it's got to be that. Imagine if you lost a tournament game and on the way out the door, that guy is saying, well, Kelsey didn't, he had me, I was supposed to be matched up here and the coaching staff didn't take advantage of my abilities. They didn't take advantage of my abilities because I'm obviously the man. And the people who yelling at me don't know what they're talking about. And the coaches didn't want to take advantage of my, my specialties. So I'm going to get in a transfer portal to go find a coach that can take care of my ability and get paid. That guy is gold. Somebody who talks like that is gold for program slander. That guy is going to be a great, great podcast one day. Coben Hawk is going to be the
good point.
The minute his college eligibility is up or he gets drafted next year, I don't know what greatness he's going to go on to. It's not the point. The point is people who talk like that are instant. And then listen, and what did he do? People are yelling at me. People are yelling at you. Is that what you're talking about in a podcast? And when you're in the transition between Illinois, the draft, and K-State. So when I rewind back, when I say people are saying, or Marcus, you're just saying that, I'm like, no, take a second, take a moment and say, I'm glad that visit got canceled. I'm glad somebody sat around and heard. Again, on the surface, doesn't sound like a bad guy, but identifying toxic red flag basketball personality is different from being a, listen, guy can be a nice guy, can be kind. He can even be a guy that lets people in traffic. He could be all of that. But at the end of the day, if you don't know not to say game plan, if you don't know not to say people are yelling at me, if you don't know how to say the offense, you know, didn't fit me, it should have, you know, it should have been organically, the ball should, you know, if you don't know not to go to interview, you're not a pro. You're not a pro. Like a professional basketball player can be held. He can have that same conversation, you know. Listen, I still don't like it, and that's a little bit of old school in me, but a professional athlete can say, but most of them know not to. They know not to. They say, hey, blame yourself when you talk about it. It's not going to do any good to say, our game plan. It's not or the game plan. At least say our game plan. Right? Like ownership. Take ownership of the game. Listen, you're a leader. You know, I should have done more to exploit the matchup. You catch the ball. That's why in basketball, it's like you're gonna have a chance to affect the game. A receiver can get pissy. A receiver gets frozen out. Listen, I don't like spazzing wide receivers, but I understand. I need 4 catches to get a $6 million bonus. You better throw me that ball. At the end of the year, you better throw me that ball. And if I got to spazz out, I'm going to spazz out for the money. But again, it's out of your hands. Basketball, there's steals, there's pressures, there's rebounds, there's so many ways to affect the game. And again, if you get to the offseason and you're willing to blame your coach or your game plan, and it's not like UConn was bums, so you're not even like, you know, giving the, like, no, man, they were good, man. They took us out of our game plan. They affected. It's terrible. That's just like I said, that was the most cringe basketball interview.
He should have learned from Damon Stoudemire. Got that ass whooped.
That's it.
That's the perfect answer.
That's it.
Because we made fun of Stoudemire for that, but that was the perfect answer as a coach.
But you're podcasting, blaming a coach. And this is all, your whole career can be reduced to a couple of sound bites.
Is this after he signed with Kansas State?
Yes, I'm assuming this is just the other day.
That's a bad look if you're Jerome Tang.
And actually, I'll you want to know how much, how you know it's a really bad look? Because I saw the tweet, and then I saw the tweet again and commented from Dan Dockage. And Dan Dockage goes hard. So you know, if Dan Dockage, if you get on Dan Dockage's radar, it's bad. But again, details, people. Bravo on Kelsey with identifying that that podcast was going to happen in the future. And that podcast was going to be Louisville on the back end, looking bad, looking like they had a bad game plan, looking like he didn't use his talent. No matter what you say, the coach is going to wear that if a player like that, you know, starts spouting off, me, I, game plan, I, coach, you need to, you know, didn't take advantage, me, I, it's ugly. And that was going to be in the locker room from the beginning, even if it didn't show until the moment you lost. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben, 939 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. While that's playing out, I want to take a second to remind everybody that temperature control is and always will be one of the most valuable resources one could have. If you agree with that sentiment, then DFH Company is most certainly the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222 or you can look up online at dfhcompany.com. Make sure you look into the Mitsubishi Mini Split, like the one we use here at the 93.9 Studios for that hard to heat, hard to cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Are you aware why I'm smirking, Tanner?
That song's a banger.
That song's a banger. Texter says, classic right there. Let's go through a little bit of the text line. Texter says, Coleman sounds like a not my fault guy. Once you can identify a not once you identify a not my fault guy, that's one of those, that's a toxic trait. Listen, speaking of toxic traits, I gotta jump out of here for 1 second. I jump out of this conversation. No, Texter, I did not tell him to play that. That was 100% on Tanner's own volition. And Tanner, have you ever heard the Shaq song, I'm Outstanding?
No, but I'm sure it's good.
Did you know Shaq?
I knew he was a rapper.
Did you know he like outsold the Backstreet Boys?
I did not know that. I didn't know he was that big time. I knew it was like he rapped, and then I was like, yeah, Shaq raps.
Shaq's album wasn't just a ha ha ha.
Like it was a bestseller.
It was a bestseller. Oh. Shaq's.
What has that man not done?
Shaq's CD. It was like a soundtrack for it's back when high schoolers started or high school started putting the microphone by the boom box, and that was like your PA system for the like warm ups at the games and stuff like that. There was about a 2-year stretch where you're going to be listening to some Shaquille O'Neal CDs. It was like a like stadium music. It was real good stadium. Means it was a great date. That's yeah, that's the texter. That's a funny one. Listen, when I saw the first word, the three first words, summertime radio, I thought I was going to have to go off on you, but you recovered very, very nicely with your point. So here's the thing. Are you familiar? Okay. Identifying them early. This is Summertime Radio 101. Identifying them early. I want to ask you this question. Chris Brown. Okay. Are you familiar with Chris Brown?
Yeah.
What's going on in the internet with him?
Oh, no. What's going on with him now?
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So Chris Brown has a specialty package for his concerts, right? That there's basically, you know, tickets, VIP, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the real allure to the Chris Brown, the specialty package, is he poses in a, for a picture with you in any manner you want. So
he knows what he's doing.
You can listen. I'm talking about hands on gluteus maximi. I'm talking about back it up. You know, I'm talking about any kind of posture that's not extremely vulgar, right? Sold out. These women.
I bet.
Like
5 minutes in?
5 minutes in. All these women are signing up for the Chris Brown specialty package. Okay? So now here comes the reverse to it. You see your girl backed up against Chris Brown, or Chris Brown's hands on your girl's gluteus maximi. Is that a Coleman Hawkins level cancel the relationship?
Yes.
Is that a red flag? Because listen, it's an internet debate going on right now. Is it just a picture, or is it a red flag?
Oh, it's definitely a red flag because you spent money for it.
You spent $1,100.
Yeah,
is
no,
how much the Chris Brown package cost?
If it was like you saw him walking down the street and you took a photo with him, cool. If it was that that crazy of a photo,
yeah,
I would feel some type of way, obviously.
Right.
But knowing the fact that you spent $1,100 and you're acting like that, nah, I'd.
So you lose a good woman over.
Yeah, she's not a good woman then. She's not.
What if outside of the. Oh, they missed it. Shame on that YouTube. Sorry about that. Well, YouTube just missed it. Chris Brown. We asking Tanner right now, Tanner, do you divorce your girl for doing the $1,100 Chris Brown pose challenge?
Absolutely. And it's probably your money too. That's the worst part.
Now, listen, now you're gonna give me the misogynistic tag by saying it's probably the man's money too. We can't say that, Tanner.
It wasn't maybe.
She's Miss Independent.
Okay,
but
now she is because she's taking photos with Chris Brown.
She took the house money and said $1,100, and she posted it. No. So a lot of these guys are like breaking up with these girls who's taking the pictures, and the girls are like, I don't care.
Good.
So the Chris Brown is helping the men out everywhere identify the red flag.
Honestly, yeah, I give him props then. He'd be like, this one's for the boys.
This is for the boys.
It's for the girls, but this one's for the boys.
If she pays $1,100 and asks me to cuff her backside on this picture, right? Is there any, there's no recovering from that?
No. Especially knowing that the money was $1,100. That's insane to me.
Is it?
I'm a penny pincher, so like.
So that would just be brutal.
That would be brutal. I'd be like, you spent money for
that? Is that the roughest part, or is it the picture?
I think it's the picture and then the underlying picture first, fact. And then you're like, you spent money for that?
A close second is the actual fact that it was money.
Yeah.
but posting it on the internet, where would that rank?
Oh, that'd be number one. Then just the photo in general, number two. So then the money.
The fact that she posted it would piss you off more than the fact she even...
She knows I'm going to see it. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
So you're measuring on levels of disrespect.
Yes, absolutely.
Look, you got to play us out. Second hour, we're going to identify what you need in your recruit on the way in the door, not before you cancel the visit. Gonna be some fun stuff. Rolling along on 939 The Ville.